With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. A silver lining to the lack of rain this summer is fewer delays on construction projects. That includes the massive undertaking that is reconstructing Copper Peak. A dedicated group is working to restore the giant ski jump and bring the sport back to Ironwood. WXPR's Katie Thorson gives us an update.
Laying concrete over nearly 2 acres on a 37-degree angle is a major feat of engineering and construction. Copper Peak president Bob Jackort says it's been amazing watching the crews work.
What they're doing is like unheard of. And we've got construction schools with construction classes or engineering schools. UMD's been here. Michigan Tech's been over here because an engineer, this is not an office building or a road, the typical flat road or the square office building. This is something really unique. So it's pretty cool.
By the end of this year, phase one of construction on Copper Peak is expected to be completed. That's concrete on the whole landing hill, steps on both sides, and fencing all around. The next phase will be the steelwork. The work being done is funded by a $20 million grant from the DNR, as well as donors. Jackort says they've been working with some big companies to get this project over the finish line.
What I found is you want to get them excited about something? Ask them if they want to help put an American on a podium.
Jackort says one of the goals of this project is to get Americans finishing from 16th out of 22 nations and into the top five. Copper Peak would bring in world ski jump competitions and give ski jumpers a place to practice. Jackort says he's been humbled by the local, regional, national, and international interest in this project.
The Norwegians have a ton of pride for this sport of ski jumping. I mean, they stick out their chest and say, we are Norway, you know, we founded this. And they believe that the best next step for this sport is Copper Peak and the U.S. team being better.
Jackort is hoping for October 2028 for reopening. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson in Ironwood.
Copper Peak's adventure ride to the top of the ski jump is only open Sundays as construction continues. Jackort asked people to please follow the road closed signs and stay away from the site during other days of the week. Rescuers saved two people who went over a popular waterfall in the western Upper Peninsula. The Gogebe County Sheriff's Office got a call for help at 1:38 p.m. Monday afternoon with a report that two people had gone over Rainbow Falls near Black River Harbor. Witnesses said they could hear yelling. Apparently, one person had tried to cross the Black River and slipped. The second person tried to help, and the current pulled both of them over Rainbow Falls. Both people were hoisted to safety with only minor injuries by the Gogebe County Search and Rescue Team. A number of agencies provided help at the scene. Leadership within the Eagle River Fire Department is looking to restructure the department. A significant shakeup in operations would also come with a steeper price tag of about three times the current budget. The fire department serves the city of Eagle River as well as the towns of Cloverland, Lincoln, and Washington. Fire Chief Jim Randall told the Fire Commission that in order to provide better service to residents, he was considering a change from the current all-volunteer model to a combination department. The combination structure incorporates a core group of paid, certified firefighters to be available 24/7 at the station, while also relying on its dedicated volunteers to help with major incident calls that come in. That would potentially raise the budget to $1.2 million per year. It could go to referendum as early as this fall. This story is courtesy of the Vilas County News Review. Emergency responders in the Northwoods are among those benefiting from $75,000 in grants to provide life-saving equipment. The WPS Foundation selected the Minocqua Fire and Rescue Department as one of this year's grant recipients, unveiling new medical supplies purchased through the grant during a visit Monday. The supplies will go toward the department's mass incident emergency response kit. The Crandon Area Rescue Squad received pulse oximetry and carbon monoxide monitors. The Crescent Volunteer Fire Department got a multi-gas detector and, like the Flambeau Fire and Ambulance, was provided breathing apparatus tanks. In addition, the Nokomis Volunteer Fire Department received a firefighting hose nozzle. The Three Lakes Fire Department was awarded firefighter communication radios, and Tomahawk Police got an automated external defibrillator, or AED. Food recalls seem to be happening more frequently, with several in Wisconsin in recent months. Researchers are questioning if consumers are becoming immune to the danger of those warnings. Terry D. reports.
It also raises questions about the timeliness of recalls associated with these warnings and the lack of clear information about life-threatening outbreaks. However, panic and worry often evolves into ambivalence about the overall safety of the U.S. food supply, says Public Interest Research Group Consumer Watchdog Director Teresa Murray. She says that the shock value of food warnings has dwindled over time due to recall fatigue.
This feeling that there's just nothing safe out there, and that's not a good place to be. You know, we all have to eat, right? You can't constantly think that there's some kind of bacteria boogeyman living in your refrigerator or in your pantry.
Food contamination alerts still grab headlines, especially if they are attached to a well-known or recognizable brand, or if the warnings result in mass illnesses, she explains. A leading example is the Cyclosporiasis outbreak this summer. Murray adds that some consumers may take recalls more seriously if they affect products that they frequently buy. I'm Terry D. reporting.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.